All right, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 2. We'll be going through verses 8 through 12 today. Starting in verse 8. And when we pass by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain of Elath, and from Ezion Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. For I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. The Emims dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims. But the Moabites called them Emims. And the Horams also dwelt in Seir before a time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them, and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of East, unto the land of his possession, which the Lord God gave unto them. So what we're going to do today is Lord willing, we're going to see that we are all of these people. Every one of these people he's just mentioned, as hard as they are to pronounce, and I'm not very good at pronouncing the names, but we are Esau at some time in our life. We're Moab, we're the Emims, and the Anakims, we're the Horams. They're just different stages of growth in our life that the Lord is using to create us. And we'll see, Lord willing, that by this study that how that works. Last week we went over how we, as God's people, bought meat and water from our religious old man Edom. We went over how we possessed that land in type as our religious old man. Today, Lord willing, we will learn, after looking back further into our wilderness journey, how God brought us through our old man before he became religious. He is described as the Emims and as the Horims. We see these things by looking back, like John did in his revelation of Jesus Christ in him. And I turned to see. The voices spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And I looked these two verses up. I just went with them this morning. I looked up that word turned. And this is where that word turned is used again. But it's used in just a little bit different. I get to pull up. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. That word turn, the same one we have up there. Then you have here, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed for her wallowing in the mire. So what this is telling us is when John turned and he looked back, what we're going to see today in this study is that what we're seeing is we're seeing the dog returning to his vomit. We are seeing the Horims and the Emims. We're seeing the sow returning to the mire, which is again the Horims or the Emims. And that's our old man. That's our Gentile old man that we went over before. We have the Gentiles and Samaritans that I put a study on there about, but this is that's like the Gentile nature of us before we begin to want or desire the things of God. This is the same principle that is being done now in Deuteronomy. We are looking back at our life's journey from God, conquering the Horims in our land to give to the Edomites in our land. Looking back from God, conquering the Emims in our land to give to the Moabites in our land. This is all progression in our lives, in the knowledge of God, and the progression of our lives that keep us blinded, both the positive and the negative. It says in verse 8 that we passed by our brethren, the children of Esau, that we learned who lived in Mount Seir, a hairy goat, through the way of the plain of Elath and from Ezion Geber. Remember, we went over last week, I think it was last week, a week before, the Esau, where he lived at Mount Seir means a hairy goat. Elath is from H5 H359 and means from H352, trees or a grove. And from the scriptures, we know that trees and grove were the apostate children of Israel learned to worship idols. Second Chronicles 24:18, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this trespass. And when they had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. So there's Elath, that's trees and groves. That's what was one of the people that were defeated, I mean the land they were in. It is in these religions of the world do we become self-righteous against all those bad people out there. It is here in religion that God gives us the victory over our flesh to establish and validate our self-righteousness. This is very, very, very good. He does so for a time to seek occasion against the flesh, to cut down the religious idols we have carved from the wood of our own tree. Isaiah 44, starting in verse 14. He, talking about us, our old man, our old religious man, he hews down cedars. He makes the cypress and the oak, which he strengthens for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants an ash, and the rain does not nourish it, and the rain does nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself, yet he kindles it and bakes bread. Yet he makes a god and worships it. He makes a graven image and falls down thereto. He burns part thereof in a fire, with thereof he eats flesh. He roasts and is satisfied. Yet he warms himself and says, ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he makes a god. Even his graven image, he falls down unto it and worships and prays unto it and says, deliver me, for thou art my God. This is what we do with wood. That's why we're talking about Elath, where they came through, and that's the meaning of it, means wood. I mean, grove and trees. Then we pass by Ezion Geber. And Ezion Geber is H6100. That means the meaning of it is backbone like a man. It is here we learn in Ezion Geber the false doctrine of free will. We stand on our own strength and support ourselves. The purpose of the backbone of a man, to support his own weight. Job 18:5-7. Yeah, the light of the wicked, this thinking you have free will, is a false light. The light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candles shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. Amos 6:13. Yeah, ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken us horns by our own strength? From here we turn and pass by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Each wilderness has its own name. This is, in its own right, a wilderness, not the wilderness which is the lake of fire, but nevertheless a wilderness to the fleshy, unreligious man. It is just a step we must all go through as part of our creation. One important point, though, the Edomites and the Moabites live in their wilderness. It's their possession. We are just passing through it and have already been told that this journey will end when we are made whole in the symbolic 40 years. 4 times 10, the whole of the flesh. When the completion of the flesh has come to its end and we are made whole, the Edomites and the Moabites of our land do not have that promise, for they are temporal and are made for us and our creation. They are like the Israelites that died in the wilderness and did not rise from that death, for they represent the old man. Numbers 14, starting in verse 31. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in. It's part of that progression. And they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses they shall fall in this wilderness. More progression. As the children grow, do we die? As in the natural, as our little children grow, literally, outwardly, so do the parents get older and they die. So that's the same thing spiritual. As our new man grows, our old man dies. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. That's their lake of fire. And burn in their lake of fire to simultaneously is putting to death the old man. Burning all that dross and all the bad stuff out of it. And bear your whoredoms. Because why are they bearing the whoredoms? Because they're looking back. Again, looking back and looking at what they went over. Looking at the wallowing in the mire and looking at returning to their own vomit. That's what the old man does. They're seeing us now. An Israelite that has not yet been given the dominion over sin. Until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, until the old man is dead. After the number of days, in which you search the land, even 40 years, each year, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I surely will do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they have consumed, and there they shall die. This wilderness is our lake of fire, where the old man is put to death. Our Lord of our lives, and we must remember that he is the Lord of our lives, not just God. He is the Lord of everything that happens in our lives. He has promised an end to this wilderness journey. He will bring us into the promised land. We will have victory. We will see the truth in full. Our old man will die. Our man of sin will be defeated, and our new man will reign as kings and priests in the promised land. These are steadfast promises that cannot be broken, for he who promised cannot lie. For Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Before the world began, he promised that we would be perfected, and that promise was in the creation of Christ, who was created for us to be redeemed before we were ever created by him. Christ created us to be redeemed, for he was Christ before he created us. His Father created him as Christ, which his title itself proclaims someone needing redemption. If we were not created needing redemption, then he would not have begun as Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ shows that we need to be redeemed. For if we were not in Christ and needing redemption, then we would not be, period. If we did not need redemption, then we would not be, then we would be perfect from creation, not needing anything or anyone to redeem us. Similar to what the false doctrines teach us, that, you know, we were created perfect and then we fell from that grace. And that's part of that, all that false doctrine stuff. Ephesians 1:4, accordingly as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestined unto adoption. We were created in the beginning stage of our creation, needing adoption, needing redemption. We were not plunged into hopelessness by the fall of Adam. We were created in Adam needing redemption, thereby having hope. The hope that he who created us in this redemptive state did so that he could redeem us. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Christ was Christ so that we could be accepted in him, in his creation. Are we created, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And forgiveness, I just put in there as a little side note, and the number is G859 from G863, means freedom, figuratively pardon, deliverance, forgiveness, liberty, remission. I like where it says freedom. It's from freedom. That's what we get when we're when we understand that we were created to be redeemed. We have freedom. It takes away the guilt. Ephesians 1:8. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. The good pleasure of his will was to create us needing redemption. That was the good pleasure of his will. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, the whole of mankind and spirits, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Both in our heavens and in our earth, we are redeemed. Looking back again, Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. How did we obtain this? How did we obtain what we did not create? We didn't create our own inheritance. God did. We are being created from creation, needing a redemption to the inheritance that we were created in for in the creation of Christ. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. It is easy now to see how we are the praise of his glory when we see that Christ created us needing redemption. He literally created us to be created into his image by redemption from Adam. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. All of this is that progressive journey we all must go through for the praise of his glory. We must pass by Elath in his progressive creation of our life and see it as a false worship under the trees and groves, a place of worship of my own self and my own righteousness, a place where I worship an idol that I carved for my own life. Mark 8:24, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. That's what we do. That's when that in-between state. That guy was only partially healed from his blindness. The first time when he had first done it, he said, what do you see? And he says, this is what he said. I see men as trees walking around. That's when you're only partially, you got a little bit of a truth in, but you're still blind. You're still seeing men as trees. You're still worshiping an idol. What happens is when he gets his full sight, he sees men as they really are. This place of Elath takes me to Ezion Geber, where after carving myself into an idol in a grove, I try to stand under my own weight. For us, we learn in these places that we do not have a righteousness and we cannot bear the weight of our old man of sin on our own backbone, the meaning of Ezion Geber. So from here, we learn that what the wilderness of Moab was for, to defeat the Emims in our lives. Emims means terror, and Horems is 2752, cave dwellers. So when we put them two together, that's the old men in our own ways, our own life. We put them together, we get, it shows how we hide in caves from the terror of the Lord. Emims is terror and Horems is cave dwellers. That takes us to Revelation 6:14. And the heaven departed as a scroll, our heavens inwardly, when it is rolled together in every mountain. What we saw as a high strength in our lives, free will, an island, even the small things in our lives that protrude up out of our Adamic nature, we see as being in control of by the Lord. We're moved out of their places. So the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Everything that we thought about our free will and the little things we thought, all that's moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, everything in us, hid themselves in the dens, that's the horns, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath, there's the Emims, is come, and who shall be able to stand? Who's able to stand on his own backbone of a man carved out of wood? Nobody. That's the killing of the Emims and Moab. You see how all these names just tie in. The Lord so beautifully just put them in there, and we just read over them like they're names, but they're not just names. They all have a meaning to them. Every name in here has a meaning to it. The Moabites and Edomites are a terror of the Lord to our unreligious, lawless old man who despise the things of God. The Lord created us to become religious, self-righteous, and judgmental for the purpose of overcoming our lawless Emims and Horems that are the giants in the land at that stage of our growth. Because as we, Israelites, enter a land already prepared for it by our old man's religious Moabites and Edomites, so the land was prepared for the Moabites and Edomites by the Emims and Horems in our early life. The religious Babylonian doctrines that conquered my Emims and Horems, that represented all that was lawless and godless in me, was a terror to them. When I was first told about burning in a literal place called hell by an Edomite priest, my Emim nature, hope you all catch this, my old man nature, you know, the Gentile nature in me, crumbled under the weight of this doctrine. It was by these doctrines that my land was conquered by God in the hand of the Edomites. We all have stories of the depravity of our Emim to Horem's nature. We all have that. For that is what we were created to be at that stage of our creation. But as the Tower of Babel, we were scattered for the purpose of dying to our old man and living to our new man. So the defeat of the Emims and Horems is not because the Moabites and Edomites are better than them, but it's a part of our creation to be molded more into the image of Christ. Remember the verse in Romans, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Is the Moabites or the Edomites sin? They are, but for the nature, for the understanding that we pull together, God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law. I have not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So we did not know we were Emims or Horems until we were defeated by the Edomites and Moabites. I did not know that I was a sinner per se until the Edomite priest told me I was. I didn't know that my nature needed to hide from the terror of the Lord until I was told about his power to send me to hell in a false doctrine by the Edomite priest. I was conquered by this lie only for the purpose of creating the Edomite kingdom. That's beautiful to me. I love that. It's for the purpose of creating this kingdom. All of this is a process of growth for the Israelite. It is later that the Edomite and Moabites are also defeated by the Israelites, Christ. He then claims victory over all because it is revealed that he created all in their own time and land. Whatever they had because he created them to have it at that stage of their growth. When the time was come, they were defeated by truth, and that truth sends us into hiding. Isaiah 2:19, starting 19, going through 21, I think. And they shall go into the holes and of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arrives to shake terribly the earth. And Ezekiel 33, starting in verse 27, say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in open field will I give to the beast to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of this pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease. The mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate, because of their abominations which they have committed. The Emims and the Horems and Edomites and the Moabites in us all flee in their appointed time into dens and caves, any hole of darkness to hide from the truth. But we must never forget that we are each and every one of these nations. When we see this in us, then this is fulfilled in this verse, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. We must wander in dens and caves of our earth, hiding from truth, in darkness of false doctrines of Babylon in us before we are given the promise. We do not know that the world in which we exist is not worthy of our calling while we are in the dens and caves of our earth. Hebrews 39, 11, 39, and 40. All these that were hiding in caves, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That is amazing scripture. We just went through all that went through. And I know this is the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the, you know, they call it the faith chapter and all these. They did not receive the promises in that stage. God having promised some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All these obtained a good report in deeds according to what they, we knew at this time, stage of growth. But all of it did not make them us perfect because we had not yet come to the knowledge of the truth, the stage in which we were created for. We are made perfect through the imperfections of each stage of our creation, of which Jesus Christ himself created. We may have faith as Edomites and Moabites to conquer the Emims and Horims, but faith without works of Christ is dead. The works of Christ in us, creating us to be what he had predestined us to be, conformed to the image of Christ. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So that's the destruction of the Horims, the destruction of the Emims, the rising of the Moabites, the rising of the Edomites, the destruction of the Moabites, the destruction of the Edomites, and the rising of Israel. It's all the same thing. It's a progression of death and life, over and over and over again. To them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. By all this process and progression that we just went over, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Again, a progression. He predestinated, he called, he justified, and after he justified, them he also glorified. There's progression in all of it. He foreknows us, he knows everything that's happening because he predestined everything to happen. He predestined it right down to the very